Began to rock. I didn't know what to do, so I stopped and got out and looked down. I noticed I got a flat, so I rubbed out, parked the car like sideways, so I can find what I can fix. I looked around, there were no cars on the highway. I felt a strange feeling like a mist, so I walked down toward the end of the road. City up here, where kids are playing and people are laughing and smiling and living in fear. She said, this is the place where no people helping with love and happiness. She turned around, looked down in my eyes and started crying and came again. You've got a friend.
It's time for the Carol Cox Show right here at K108. If you have questions or comments for Carol, our number here is 524-1080, 524-1080. And now, here's Carol.
And good morning, and welcome to the Carol Cox Show. As Mr. Francis so kindly announces every Sunday morning, I'm glad you could join me. There's so much to talk about, and I don't know where to start. I was listening on the way in to some of the things, and one topic that I was going to talk a bit about was briefly, and then I heard someone ask, where did racism come from? When did blacks experience it? I don't know, didn't really get the full question, but let me try to clarify something for you from an African-American perspective and experience. We don't have a patent on being victims of racism. And so no matter how sophisticated you've been educated and how well you've spoken and how well you read, if you experience an injustice, there are certain things that you might rationally, a rational person may try to explain it, why they're being treated so unfairly and unjust. And many of us say, well, it's because I don't have any money. And others say, well, it's my religion. And others say, but there to experience hatred and unjust treatment, bigotry, someone amongst you must feel that's provoking or projecting on you the negatives must feel superior. And so in my experience, I look at the world and, you know, for those of you who have fragile ears and hardened hearts or tearful eyes, you know, you might want to turn off the radio because the reality is you go to Australia, Empire Building, the Anglo-Saxon is in control there. You go to New Zealand, you go look at France, you see what they've done to the Pacific. You look at us, you look at Canada, Native people. So it's unfair for anyone to suggest that black people has the burden of explaining why racism or even giving you any insight. Because if you're not capable of understanding an unjust treatment at the hands of someone, for example, locally here, this recent incident in the newspaper about the young man being beaten by the policeman. And let's take a look at that, and I'm not going to dwell on it. But you have one expert saying, well, I'm a former law enforcement, the FBI, and I say that it was justified. And that's one perspective. Then others say, well, we don't see the rest of the video. Well, let me say this to you. If you've been listening to the Carol Cox Show in the past, you will know. And if you're honest with yourselves, you will acknowledge that I've already told you about this. I told you recently in the last 2 months that same individual who filmed this incident, the Billings, they belong to the nonprofit organization with the Marine Mammal Foundation. And they, in turn, go out and place signs and then threaten people. And I told you about the incident where I witnessed firsthand one of their members to approach a black family, an African-American family, and tell them, get your black asses away from here. Now, I didn't make that up, and so don't tax me for having to explain to you where racism came from. I don't project on anybody racist mindsets or attitudes. So, again, African-Americans, we don't have a patent and can't claim why racism and prejudice is about us. You go to India. The British were there in India. You go to China. Who was there? You go to Japan. You go to Korea. Whatever reason it is, when we all stand back and say, well, maybe the black man can explain to us why, then whatever we say, however profound we speak, about that subject, it won't do you any good because you're not addressing the issues that impact you, that are right there at your feet. And so that situation out there with the seal, first of all, I've told you and shared with you many times, there is no distance, no legal distance where you must stay away from a monk seal. And let's just assume, what if? No one know now. All they saw was this man sitting there praying and doing sand, whatever. I wasn't there, and whatever he, I've seen people pray to different things, stones, rocks, whatever. So if someone look and see you doing that, how can they say that it was wrong, what he was doing? Wasn't cause, the animal wasn't disturbed. And if you know the Marine Mammal Act and you know the law, it talks about if you alter, or harass, harm, take, capture, kill, if that was the case, then a person driving a boat would be subject to arrest. That situation, and I speak from an expert from wildlife as a game warden, as a special agent who enforced that, I would have approached the gentleman and told him, and I would not have allowed it to escalate, period. There was, the punishment must meet the crime or fit the crime. That's a standard rule. Excessive force, escalating force, you use a baton. You know, the baton was, the man was walking away. What, was it that that police officer just had to get him? Was he going to go away? Was he headed down the road to kill 500 monk seals? Was he posing a threat to anyone? And then to learn that he's has a mental health issue. So I'm here to say to you, the real people, the real issue, who you should be asking about racism in that situation is the National Marine Fisheries Service, Mr. Michael Tosato. It falls under the Department of Commerce. I encourage all of you, if you want to know what the black man think and how we think about racism or whatever, I can give you where you can start. I'll put your nose at the trail. Here's where you start. Contact the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration, the Department of Commerce, the National Marine Fisheries Service, and express your concerns. It was wrong in every sense of the word. And if, in fact, the villains who filmed that, I would submit that it's likely they're the ones who actually call the police. And I've shared with many of you, and on air here, that that is a volatile situation, and it's going to lead to someone being injured or unjustly treated, and voila. Because it has already presented itself in many forms already. And so it's a shame. The National Marine Fisheries Service should abandon this practice with this National Marine Mammal Commission Foundation immediately. They are able to walk and approach seals and do whatever and take pictures and go out and sell pictures and put them on the, and call the foundation and ask you to send money. They can go out and fence off an entire area on a beach, prohibiting you or restricting you as beachgoers to go within a certain distance of it, when in fact there is no legal distance. You assess the situation. The racism that you witnessed there, and some of you caught up in this, that it's escalating force, it wasn't justifiable, but it was one of the most horrendous acts I've seen. It's paramount to walking across the bridge in Birmingham and anywhere else where innocent people just expressing themselves, just being in place, getting beaten. So you have the decision to make. Is it, do you want to know about black people and their experience with racism, or do you want to stare racism in the face here on this island, in this state, and call it what it is? I think you, there's so much to be had if you were to just approach it that way. You won't believe the solution that you have at hand. And I can only submit to you that you must do something. So anyway, that's, if you want to talk about it, you know, over the years, we've we've been responsible for and had the responsibility of answering that invisible chip on our shoulder. You know, that's how we, as African Americans and other minorities, when we emerge and dare to cross the tracks and become and be part of that society, of that community, we don't come as gentlemen and educated and honest people and God-fearing. We come first with a chip on our shoulder, and we must prove ourselves to an entity that projects on us evils, evil thoughts, bombing church, hanging, lynches, rapes, murders. So, again, I suggest that anybody that really wants to understand what racism is, then look it in the face and call it what it is. If it's your brother who has a badge and a gun and wears a blue suit and walks around, or if it's your brother who's an FBI and you know him, and yet you see an injustice like this, it's an injustice. It's an unjust treatment. It's not a radical approach. It's looking at something and assessing it and calling it exactly what it is. So I apologize. I don't have the motion and the notion and the lotion to tell you how it is that racism got here in America and got here. I think we'd have to just ask, you know, where do you want to start? You want to start in New Zealand? You want to start in India? You want to start in China? You want to start, where do you want to start, in America, where the native people were murdered and slaughtered and killed and now have nothing? Where do you want to start? And so it would be unfair and disrespectful to submit to you or suggest that I can answer you for all of the atrocities, the hatred. If the Jews, the millions that were killed, do I have the answer to explain to you? And then if I were to explain to you, then what do you do? Once I give you the perfect answer, what do you do? Do you resort back to, well, that's the way it is. Can't make any trouble. Can't make noise. He must have done something wrong to deserve that. You see. He whistled at a white girl. Or he tried to move in, and I think he was working for the enemy. You know, all kinds of things. And we, people of color, minorities, we are taxed with a responsibility that we don't even know the value, the cost. We don't even know why. We're just many times victims, oftentimes. So anyway, so much about that. And if you have any questions, I would suggest you call your priest or someone and ask them, because, you know, as most of you say, the Lord will take care of it. And what the Lord can't take care of, the police will. So that's just from our side of the track. So I apologize. Like I say, if it's harmful and distasteful, then so be it. These are the things that we have to carry around. That so-called chip on the shoulder is actually something that is really, it's a burdensome. It's the burden that we all, and even the people that don't experience this, suffer too. Because wouldn't you want to be in a world free of discrimination, free of racism, free of hatred? So if it exists, then it's harmful even to the people that are projecting. It's a bad world. Caller, go ahead with your comments and questions. Thank you.
Good morning, sir. How are you?
I'm fine.
The original question was, how was it taught to everyone? That's what I listened to everybody who spoke. Only a few of them got into how it was taught. One guy said it was through the television in the 30s and,
well,
and
yeah,
40s.
And that's
through the Indians and the cowboy thing. But that was the original question. How was it taught? You know, how did they teach all these different cultures to be against us for no reason? That's
against,
the real question.
Against who?
Black Americans.
Yeah, but
period.
But again, if we're going to win this thing, we got to acknowledge that everyone suffers.
But slow down. I got something else I noticed.
No. Let's try
Mr. Cox.
Yeah.
There's a lot of people who want to talk about this.
Right.
I noticed it when I was listening. There's a lot of people we wouldn't even think want to talk about this that are not even black Americans.
I see. I understand.
But the dialogue always gets shut off.
Yeah, and also when we do engage, don't get shut off. Sometimes we may experience what we're doing right now. Let me finish my sentence, and you'll understand. So how did racism start with black people, and how did they teach them all to hate us?
Yeah, well, that's an interesting question.
Okay,
in a scholarly way.
Well, hold on. Yeah. I mean, that's scholarly and all, but we're not the only piece of vegetable in this vegetable soup, so to speak. Let's go to Canada. No.
Slow down for a second.
No, I'm not slowing down for a second. I can't even get started. So allow me to finish, and then you'll have all kinds of time.
The programming is going in the wrong direction.
No, it's not. It can go in another direction, too, but allow me to finish. So,
go ahead.
So if you want to start, where did it start? When they started? Hey, when the native people, when the Canadians moved in to Canada and took the children and shipped them off to schools and raped and murdered and killed and incarcerated people, do we want to be singularly standing out in the cold asking, when did they start hating us? Or do we want to embrace everyone, as Dr. Martin Luther King says? You understand? So I don't find any value in trying to, because all you got to do is just use your imagination and those situations present themselves.
Mr. Cox, there was a question even before that that links to that.
I understand.
It had to do with the indigenous human being,
right?
And I was saying how we don't have any indigenousness like other cultures do, number one.
Well,
and the second thing is we have no indigenous sovereignty.
Right.
We're all, most of us are so mixed up. We're like three races, man.
Well, but
we're not one race anymore.
We start off, all of us, and we still are part of the human race. And
so when we
start to, if we want to stamp our racism, we have to, each one of us must embrace one another and acknowledge that your pain is no more painful than mine. Your injustice is no greater, no deeper, no hurtful than mine. And if we understand that, you talk about women, look what they endured. And they still endure it. You think we'll win this war if we want to sit back and go, wonder why and how black people got racism started with them? We're indigenous to this planet. We're human beings.
Yeah, but I'm saying with all the mixing, I'm talking about just the concept of the black American's life. Even the term black American is derogatory. It's horrible how we have no identity.
But you're being disingenuous.
Nothing, man.
You're being
nothing.
Disingenuous because or failing to acknowledge history, because remember, at one time we were called niggers and slaves.
Yeah,
right? Wait now. Hold on. Moors or whores, whatever we were called. Listen, I'm speaking to what you said. So if you were, when you say they call us, it's an insult to be black American. Well,
yes, insult.
But you are either you're purposely missing part of history or you're refusing to accept it. And you must acknowledge that we evolved. We as a people, African Americans here in this country, we were called niggers and slaves at one time, and then we graduated to colored. And remember that? And then we started saying, I'm not a nigger. I'm
called color.
Wait. I'm not a nigger, I'm a Negro. So we start being called Negroes. You understand? And then we wanted identity. Say it loud, I'm black and I'm proud. Come on. If we are going to address racism and overcome it, then we can't lie and project and say and pretend that everything that we experience is at the hands of someone else. And then turn around. We call ourselves black. Remember how we evolved?
So what you're saying is that we put ourselves on the slave
ship. No, I'm not saying.
And chained ourselves and did all this to ourselves.
No.
That's what you're saying, man?
No. You know better. But for the sake of your argument, I guess that's saying.
I'm making sure nobody misinterprets you.
Well, no. Apparently you are, if you have to clarify the clear statement that I'm making. And this is, bring me back to one point. This is why sometimes we don't get very far in these discussions because it gravitates to that kind of statement. Let's speak the truth, and therefore we don't have to inject nonsensical things.
And truth is negotiated.
Negotiated. Okay.
Yes, negotiated.
So when did we become Black Americans? And so speaking, trying to get identity, we then wanted to become African Americans because we were of the African descent, correct?
No, they gave us that too.
They who?
We have never identified ourselves, Mr. Carr, as who we, how we have never even wrote our own dictionary.
Okay, well, I'm going to end that conversation because when you say we, I'm speaking to you. As my
I'm
own,
talking
wait,
about we as a
wait,
whole
no,
nation
no,
of
no,
of,
no.
I'm talking about us as
no,
a people,
no.
Not as individuals.
See, here's the thing. If we're going to win this war about racism, you and I got to first start to be honest and acknowledge what transpired. And we can't be sitting here talking as if we're doing drugs and omitting and circumnavigating the truth. I'm just speaking to you how we evolved here. And so we're African Americans because we wanted identity because, and this is how I recall it. Remember the Afro?
Yes.
We've started to wear the Afro because we didn't want to do the processing of Jerry Crow.
And who called it an Afro? Where did it come from?
Look, man,
in some cultures, it's called a halo.
Okay, whatever, then.
Not an Afro.
But I've seen the devil then wear a halo.
The point I'm trying to communicate is that we have never been able to have self-determination or self-identity. Even Hawaiians have a culture around something called self-identity. We're not allowed to have self-identity. There's no country called Black America. Actual land.
Yeah,
unless it's here in America.
Well, if you wait long enough, there'll be renaming of many countries. And you understand how many were fragmented that were part of the empires and now given back. So I don't know. I don't have much more to say in that vein to this conversation because if we're unable to speak the truth, and if you're going to dissect the question.
Well, wait, you say truth. Truth is negotiated.
Well, I don't negotiate. I have a stone.
But you're only one person.
I understand, and that's
one
why.
One mind.
I
when you mix it two and three,
no.
And 10 and 100 minds, we have to negotiate,
but
agree upon truth.
When we take the simple truth and then fold it and mold it to come out with your explanation or to fit my explanation, then something.
That's wrong. That's negotiated.
And then there's this thing about they. I don't believe in ghosts. And I don't believe in talking animals. So when you say they, I don't believe in they. I just
means other than us.
And they, if I were to accept what you're saying, then they controls everybody. Because there are more than us experiencing injustice.
Okay,
the human race.
They used to say it was 60 million of us, right? Do we even know how many of us exist now in America?
Well,
and we do our own surveys and statistics. We don't.
Well, that's
it sucks, man.
Okay, but I think you're expressing the frustration that I don't have any.
It's not a frustration.
I have no response. I don't even know where to begin with you.
Okay. All right.
But you know, you're welcome
Another
to call.
Time.
Yeah.
Another
okay.
Time.
Thank you, my friend.
Okay, yep.
All right. Bye bye. Anyway, always feel free to call in, but. But everybody on both sides of the fence must start speak the truth. If we speak the truth, guys, it'll work out. If we acknowledge that there is racism, there's hatred, there's bigotry because of sex, because of religion, because of finances, because of this, we'll get somewhere. But if we, and through that evolution, that process, we want to turn back and then deny what transpired, we'll never reach that goal. We'll never stamp out racism. Never. Caller, thank you. Go ahead with your comment or question.
Good morning.
Yes, good morning.
The word I would say is W-E. We. All this other I, or this or that. We together is only going to solve the problem. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And the gentleman you had on before, he's pretty set in his convictions, you know?
Yeah.
And I think they're a little bit behind the time in reality.
Yeah,
he's got a quadrant leap in front of all that stuff that he's, you know, living on top of, and realize that there's a different world now.
Let me share something with you so that I won't dismiss him in that sense, because let me just tell you why is it that I have the strangest listeners? You go to say something, they say what they want to say, you go to say something, and let me just share this with you. When I wake up in the morning and you wake up in the morning, there's a new day. So I want to divest myself of the thought of racism being present. I want to be free, and I want to project that on everyone else, and I want to experience freedom. I want to drive down the road without thinking I'm going to get shot in here because I'm black or whatever. Let's get past that. But here are the things that what you don't experience firsthand like I do. Reminders, even though I want to shut it out. So I just, for example, sign up to Ancestry.com, right? So I'm there getting back to my grandfather and my father's father and my father's father's father. So now all that I find on my father's 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 name is just a first name. And he is living on the... Pardon me? He's living on a plant... He's a bundle in a plantation, but because they were slaves. So when people expect us to just being the good Negro, the church going Negro, the God fearing Negro, the guy who go, how you doing, sir? All of that. Let me help you cross the street. You want me to carry your dog, poop and clean your yard? I'll do that for you, sir. Right? But in reality, as in a normal fashion, I try to live a normal life. I, as an African American, is reminded. Even when I'm being a civil-minded African-American, black person. So I go there, and so now I'm struggling. Well, what was his name? Well, he's 9 years old. He just shows up at part of the group in the plantation. You understand?
Yeah.
So I think that I say, if in order to accomplish this war on racism, everybody that's breathing, walking, feeling, experiencing, and thinking should take responsibility and stop trying to figure out who has a unique process of experiencing, who was first. It doesn't matter. It's a nasty feeling, bigotry, hatred.
Think about yourself before you try to degrade somebody else.
But you understand that that's my point. And you just look around you. You go into the Safeway or grocery store and you stand there at the magazine rack. They say the most 100 beautiful people in the world is, right? 100 people, the 100 most beautiful, whatever it is, right? How many Asians or how many Indian or how many Arabic, how many blacks do you see in there? So
I didn't count, but it's not evenly distributed.
But, no, I don't think there should be affirmative action, but if you're going to go to the point of saying the most beautiful people in the world, damn it, then you need to go see the most beautiful people in the world. If you're going to call yourself world champions, then you need to stop playing in Minnesota, Chicago, and Louisiana and go around the world and play and become world champions.
You should have renamed it.
Right?
The prettiest women in the United States, like you were saying, too many localized, hullabaloo. There's a lot of beautiful women around the world.
Well, and that's my point. I mean, it's time for us to grow up, and the pain is here. And if you see a guy aching, just rub his head or something. Give him an aspirin. Don't kick him in the ass and then tell him, get over it.
Band-aid on that or something.
and I don't know. Anyway, it's
like you said, you can't pick at your sores. It's going to take you down.
Yeah, and we owe it to us ourselves as human beings, as a human race. We are thinkers. We say we're smarter than the monkeys, and we differentiate ourselves.
But to be dignified, you know what I mean?
Or something.
Dignified.
You would think with the education that we boast about ourselves and how we're able to, if there's a bacteria killing us, we're able to manufacture a vaccine. And then you would think with all of that and the education, and then when you insert God in there, damn it, we should have the best solution already at hand, right?
Yeah, right. All the ingredients.
But we're acting as stupid as, I don't know. So anyway, it's a subject that you need to walk in their moccasin before we draw conclusions that they are thin-skinned and weak.
Your programs are mostly all on the up and up, but this stuff here can bring you down because there's no answer unless the people out there change their mind about what, you know, what the hell is going on.
Well, it must be talked about, and because breachings, to broach the subject means you're breaking the ice. But to stand back from afar and then give opinions and project, we're not going to get anywhere. We'll be in a cesspool like we already are, pretty much.
Fall into the ice, and then, you know, you're not even on the scene anymore.
Yeah.
You know?
And so, you know, it's like going in a courtroom and you see the family say, "I forgive you," right?
Yeah.
And you see the guy sitting there, but does he ever go, "I'm sorry, really sorry, truly sorry, so let me work for you for the rest of my life," or do something, make some gesture?
Yeah.
No. It's the victims. The victim.
Just putting anybody in a cell is a retribution of, you know, some of the crimes that are committed. You understand that?
Right. But anyway, it's something, they say, don't talk about it. Well, you know, then take it and ingest it and stew over it and see how ignorant you become. You know. So,
I have no answers.
Yeah.
You see more rhetoric.
So anyway, you know, while I got you here, we always talk about waste, fraud, and abuse.
Oh, man, how much is going on now?
So I was able to obtain a copy of that audit that I talked about on several occasions.
Oh, and top 10 or something.
Rather, the audit from the H-Power.
And
today I was able to get that to the advertiser in time so they could print an article today. And I encourage all of you, if you don't like the paper, you don't need the paper, don't read the paper, buy this one issue. And I will assure you, if you read that, then you will have a roadmap to knowing what the city is, and you will have some good suggestions on what we need to do to clean these thugs out of office, guys.
So you mean there's a lot of factual facts in there?
Brother, it's an audit. It's just to show, for example, I want to read this, and this is part of the audit on page 49. It was done this year, just released. They're going to post it on their website. The auditors, city auditors, are going to post it on their website this week, coming week, they say. But I have an advanced copy, and so, quote, "We followed up on ENV consultant procurement practices by reviewing a July 2015 consent decree among the city and the U.S. Department of Justice and the U.S. Environmental Protection for the photovoltaic system." You've heard me talk about that, right?
Yeah.
The H-Power, ENV Environmental Services issued Amendment 4 to the HDR engineering contract and increased the multi-term contract amount of $175,000 from $10.5 million to $10.7 million. Now, hold that thought now. The amendment continues to authorize $59 per hour engineering and field student interns. According to the State Procurement Office, construction monitoring consultant contracts for professional services should be fixed price contracts. Of this amount, $500,000 was dedicated for reimbursable expenses, right?
Yeah, okay.
And according to NVS staff, the department relies on these consultants to substantiate and verify the accuracy and validity of Covanta and the subcontractor invoice claims. Now, so this company is called HDR Engineering, okay?
All right.
Engineers. I did some checking, and they have been allowed to spend money, charge the city, fill out invoices, charge them more than allowed, right?
And violations.
Well, yeah, and the audit states that. So if you look a little deeper, you'll find that HDR, I went to HCCDA, DCCA website, business name registration, and found this company, HDR Engineers. And then I went to the Campaign Spending Finance Commission and pulled up the records. There are 10 people, officers in this company, donating upwards of $17,000 to Mr. Caldwell. 10 people now. Some 2,500, 1,500, 1,000, 2,000. You understand? And they are allowed to get away with murder and rip off.
Well, they've been voted as a block, so it's pretty hard to
Well, I don't want to go there. I'm just telling you what's happening. You know, they can vote as individuals, but they're weevils in the wheat, brother. That's what I'm speaking to. I don't know what they do. They get together and plead a pledge to screw the people more. I'm just trying to convey to you that.
Right, now, this is a new contract, and how much was the difference? Only $200,000, or what was the difference between the two contracts?
Well, when you say the difference, I put the paper away, but
kind of cutting out.
After the original contracts were, I'm just reading a bit from the audit.
Yeah.
After the original contracts were awarded, ENV used 79 contract modification amendments, change orders, and task orders to construct, improve, expand, and refurbish H-Power facility. The contract modifications increased the overall project cost from the original $313 million to over $993
million. Whoa, wait a minute.
Including, but this is the company that was hired that is giving big donations to... oversee this. Pardon me?
That's almost over double.
ENV did not fully comply with the state procurement code and city policies related to the sole source cost plus and time materials contracts. ENV contracts and procurement practices can be improved. You understand?
How can we justify such an increase and get away with it?
Well, because the budget and finance of fiscal services office is being consulted as this thing is going, and they are approving it.
Yeah, but who sits on that board?
Who does the mayor appoint? So, again, you can go to carolcox.com, and I have actually posted up the actual audit, and I encourage all of you, if you want to see why the rail... It has all of the similarities, and I was struggling to get this for the last couple of weeks. And by the way, Roy Amamiya writes, which he's supposed to do, that's what the mayor hired him for, is to basically justify all of this and disagree with the auditor. But, pardon me?
Well, he's not doing his job. This is a fix set in a long time ago. No matter what you do, this thing is going to ride that rail, you know what I mean? And all them other problems that we've had, you can't stop them. You can bring injunctions against them. The telescope thing kind of worked for somebody. Mm-hmm. You know, they stopped that on the technicality, yeah?
Uh-huh. Well,
but
they took this.
It's like a steamroller.
They took this thing to $1 billion just for the construction and building of it because they failed to mention a $14 million amount to add into the actual operation.
Snarl for 24 hours a day over there, probably. You know what I mean? Because you'll be working in the nighttime, man. I tell you, a lot of people are driving the night over here, so you don't need much of a D-Day to have a traffic jam, you know?
So the audit goes on to say, although the $324 million third boiler expansion project comprised over 32% of the $993 million project costs, ENV and BFS, Budget and Fiscal Services Managers, stated that the de facto sole source cost plus and time materials contract modifications were appropriate and competitive bids were not required.
Well, that's $500 million that eventually somebody's going to have to pay.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's over, the underbid and all the other things like that, you know what I mean?
Well, they don't do no bids. There's no bidding, you see, because they gave them a 27-year contract. They extended it to 27 years or longer. So,
they can build a rail around the island.
Well, I don't know if they can build it.
Why does it project 27 years?
Well, that's for now. This is for the H power now. You keep throwing in the rail, and this is my difficulty in doing a radio show. When sometimes it's like I work pretty damn hard to go get this. I went to bed at 2:40 last night or this morning, trying to go through this. And so I when people call up and they ain't listening, it's like, well, maybe, but. Let me just
share. Don't get me going on an H power, man. That's the biggest boondoggle.
We did not audit the invoices for period of 2004-2007. The $383 million amount included invoices submitted by the consultants. The H power contracts total over $993 million, and excludes the $14.7 million in contracts awarded to consultants, and the consultants are the same people that give big money to Caldwell. The two main contractors is Melee Association Associates and HDR Engineers, Inc.
Isn't that a conflict of interest? Isn't that that's a blatant case of it, isn't it?
When you say conflict.
Conflict of interest. You know, I'm giving somebody money and he's voting on...
They did focus and found out conflict of interest and established that too, but this is just, for example, and giving monies, for you know, they were allowed to hire professional services, right?
Yeah.
And we reviewed 49 Covanta invoices valued at $47,181,450, $4 related to air pollution control system, and 57 Melly Associates professional service consultant invoices at $3,442,000 related to the H-Power Baghouse project. We evaluated whether these invoices were properly approved, adequately documented to support construction and consulting activities, and consistent with this. We found ENV approved payments to the Melly Associates consultants for work outside the scope of the Baghouse air filter. The consultants' monthly progress reports included work activities that were unrelated to the job, basically, that they were hired to do, and performed at ENV's request. In the 74% of the 49 monthly progress reports that were available, the consultants included descriptions such as assisted in management of environmental projects for refuge department, commenced fiscal year-end budget forecasting.
Is that a position?
Nothing to do what they were hired for.
Yeah. I mean, is that a position, assistant of management?
Right. But, see, so in other words, the tail is saying that they wagged the dog. But, in fact, the city ENV and the managers should be overseeing these, and budget and fiscal services should be guiding them. But they, on many occasions, say that they were operating outside of the actual procurement laws, state laws, and what have you.
So they weren't really interviewing them and seeing their background, or what, are they really qualified for the job and stuff like that, and that wasn't done?
Well, it's not about nobody's saying they weren't qualified. Instances, for, and I'm just going to pick a number because I don't want to be reading the whole darn thing that I've...
Summarize. So,
for example, they would say, in order to hire a consultant, a professional hourly rate is $140. In some instances, they would submit invoices, and it would be $200 and some, exceeding what the allowable contractual consultant fee were. They were extending stay in hotels, buying laptops, computers, and a car, diesel engine truck or car, for the staff of the ENV services, which was outside of the procurement, outside of everything, because that was not what the money was supposed to be spent for.
Yeah, it wasn't in the budget, you mean?
Well, it's just not authorized. It's not.
Okay.
That comes from another. But anyway, it's not as simple as that. But there are some serious issues, and mainly... I would suggest that the listeners out there understand this mayor is in both positions. He's overseeing the rail, and there's quite a few similarities that the builder of it is dictating a lot of the activities. And so this mayor, and at a minimum, he should, in fact, immediately fire Lori Kahakina. There's no way the taxpayer can tolerate or put up with this kind of nonsense. We shouldn't have to. So that's the way it is, my friend, and we'll be back.
Well, he has the authority to fire him, but why? The faster prison, but you got to get a petition against this guy, maybe?
Well, I think you start by talking to your city councilman and have them to conduct and ask for an investigation or refer this matter.
Ernie Martin, is he up for this kind of game?
Well, I don't know, but what I was about to say.
You know what I mean? That's
yeah, you'll contact him, but I think that I believe there's some serious white collar fraud and crime here.
Yeah.
And I believe there's criminal acts here, both on the inside of government and on this part on the some of the people that work outside of the government.
Well, if he could prove something, you know, he could help his, you know, run for mayor.
Well, I don't. I'm not in the bit, and I don't.
No, that's just my opinion.
Well, not on this show. I mean, if he
I'm pushing
nobody. Yeah, I know, but we don't want to suggest that we get in to pry this guy out, and then you know, I mean, Ernie Martin, his background isn't that stellar either. You understand? So, but and there's a lot of things have occurred on his watch. So, he's a good guy. But we need somebody to just stand up and clean the mess up first.
Yeah.
And it's premature to say who should vote for. I mean, I don't care. I just think that we need to go back to making sure that people do their job and adhere to the law.
The obligations and what they were voted in for.
Mm-hmm.
Get it done or get out.
So anyway, we'll be back in the next hour. And,
all right. We'll talk to you later.
All right. Thank you. So, guys, anyway, we'll be back shortly. This is the Carol Cox Show. But I encourage you to go to carolcox.com, and you can see the actual read the audit. I posted it up there for, you know, me, it's just small talk here. But you can go there and draw your own conclusion. And I don't want to influence you, but happy readings. And take a sedative with you, because if you watch these things, you will really be enlightened. You will learn something that I didn't even, I suspected it, because for years I've been trying to pry documents from the hands of the Covanta people and the HRR. So now we finally got them. And they're cleaning house somewhat. Mr. Robert Webster, November 17th, there was a letter to the State Health Department advising that he, one of the top managers there, is no longer there. So I'm told in the near future there's another gentleman that'll be also given a shown the door. But who's going to show the city workers the door? Anyway, we'll be back. Aloha.
Stay tuned for the second half of the Carol Cox Show right after the news on KWAI Honolulu, K108.
Like you hold me, hold me all day.
it's time for the Carol Cox Show right here at K108. If you have questions or comments for Carol, our number here is 524-1080, 524-1080. And now, here's Carol.
Thank you, and welcome back to the Carol Cox Show. Having a good discussion here, I guess. Talking about an audit of the H-Power, and I've been speaking about H-Power for some while and even felt that I need to be apologetic and sounding if I was repetitious in talking about this subject. But some of you, the long-term listeners that have been hanging out with us, will understand and be reminded that I told you that if we were to just take the Environmental Services Department, I believe that you and I as taxpayers would benefit immensely in reducing taxes if we had an individual that was looking out for our good, such as the mayor. If we had that, we would be so far down the road accomplishing a lot. But when you have a mayor who's predisposed of getting the rail, and look how shabby and shoddy that is, the handling of that, the financing. And then you have this other billion-dollar project, a multi-billion-dollar project, three boilers. And there's so much, and we're supposed to be advancing in this process of recycling and reducing the wear and tear on the planet and the environment, trying to reuse things that we should be reusing so that we don't have to go seeking out virgin materials. And for everything that we have to go dig up virgin, minerals, wood, whatever it is, we're going to potentially displace native people because the demand will be so great. Even down to the food that we eat, even if we become healthy in our diet, that in itself alone can bring on some consequences. To soybean and soy milk, you need the land, so that encourages people that go into growing soybeans to make these products, tofu and all of that, because the world's palate is demanding. And so you go and cut down the forest, and you plow and plant soybeans or whatever the product is. Today, cardboard is king. Metal is down in price. So they say that at the H-Power, the ENV, a certain period, the profit that they've recognized is $201 million. But when you look at the amount of money they're throwing at it, there's something wrong. And talking about the H-Power plant, the need, if you have the H-Power plant, then you're going to always need a landfill. So, in other words, those of you that felt that we were going to get rid of landfills and bought into that and said it was okay to do the boilers. The boilers generate a volume of ash, a large quantity. And where does that ash go? Now, there's been discussions about using the ash for cement, putting it in the cement and using it on the roads. But the amount of constituents of concern, the basic eight metals of concern, the some carcinogenic, and to make bricks or pavement and put it in there and crush glass and all of that. This is what the H-Power. So we've gone back to the most basic management tool, and that is fire, burning it, generating an ash. So where does the ash go? Up to the landfill. And we're going to build a solar voltaic building there at H-Power. I believe that this audit should put a stop to that, and we're going to be writing a letter, a follow-up letter, to the EPA asking them to revisit that consent decree, because if you have this much of mismanagement and questionable practices as far as it relates to honest acquisition and spending and allocating of monies, procurement and all of that, then there should nothing should be done. There should be a complete, I don't know what the city council is going to do or what powers they have, but there should be something done to address this, because I've said, and many of you that I talked to said, well, how do you know H Power is being misoperated or mismanaged? How do you know that? You make these claims, and I can read, and I have gone to the Clean Air Branch. And in the Clean Air Branch, see, we're talking about their finances that the audit shows, but equally, the permits, you if you're talking about injection wells, they have four. They extract 2.4 million gallons of water daily. That's what their permit is allowed. Now, do they extract that every day? I don't know. But then again, the amount of money they were spending, how many days is this place down? How many breakage? And we're spending money with consultants who are supposed to be looking at the overall function and the basic functions of these things and kind of sort of anticipating or preventing these short outs or whatever it is, that the breakdowns. So basically, I think from reading this document and reading all of the other documents that there are, I believe that this is one of the greatest frauds being perpetrated on the taxpayer in this city ever. The amount of money. Now, there was another group called Melli Association, and I mentioned them. And Melli Associates is a foreign entity. When I say foreign, not from the state here. And Melli has actually donated. I wanted to know who was donating money from all sides and see what was happening. And Melli actually donated some money to, I think, 6,000 to Brian Schatz, 6,000 to Mufi Hanneman, 6,000 to Kochi, and 6,000 to Neil Abercrombie over there at that H Power. So I don't know, can't bring myself to understanding. And then I also saw HDR had donated a small amount of money to Kimberly Pine, but I only found one donation for her from campaign donation from Kimberly Pine regarding this. So there's a lot of comfort in apparently they don't have to watch out. They don't have to answer to anybody. Laura Kaikina, basically, if you read the audit and the explanation that Roy Amamiya provided in response to this audit, it's shocking that one could think that they could operate so loosely with the taxpayers' dollars and the taxpayers' interest and then have an audit and take issue on some of the things that they're raising. It's obvious. If you are found to be in contract with the city, and it says that you're only going to get this amount for this contract, then that should be it. The contract will allow this amount. But instead, Laura Carquino, managing director, the mayor, and all, and budget and fiscal services. Now I know why they got their glasses all hidden now and they can't talk to you, because there's a shameful practice. They're stealing, in just the basic language, they're stealing from you and I as taxpayers. They don't have our interests at hand. They're moved by big business who will give them money. As I said, HDR gave, the records show that they've given Their members of their company have given Mayor Caldwell approximately $17,000. Thank you, caller. Go ahead with your comments or question.
Good morning, Carol.
Yes, good morning.
You're talking about this campaign spending and everything. On last Wednesday, I went to the city council to testify on this Bill 23, increasing monies for the rail.
Mm-hmm.
Basically, my testimony was based on, I told them that you are legally extorting the people of Oahu.
Mm-hmm.
And if you are not the ones who are committing the crime, then you are certainly accomplices to the crime.
Mm-hmm.
And I read to them what would be the penalties based on being an accomplice here.
Mm-hmm.
On it. And then, interesting thing, of course, before the public was allowed to testify, Mayor Caldwell took the mic here.
Mm-hmm.
Unexpectedly, can you imagine that? They want us to believe that he was not expected to show up,
Right.
It's a circus. It kind of reminds me of, in the old days, basically, when you went to a circus, there was only one ring, And the performers all performed at this one ring,
Mm-hmm.
Today, basically, you have what they know as a three-ring,
Right.
circus, where you get performances going on in three separate rings. The city council basically has nine members,
Mm-hmm.
So we have nine rings with the council, and then we have the mayor's office as another ring. So we have a 10-ring circus that's going on,
Mm-hmm.
And one of the testifiers is an elderly woman, basically, who has a physical difficulty, basically. She has a little hunchback and everything, but she's always there. I'm sorry, didn't get her name. But she presented a card with all of the contributions to the nine people.
Uh-huh.
Through the rail contractors and what have you. And Pine was the only one that said, "I beg your pardon, your figures there are wrong." Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And of course the testifier said, "Well, if they're wrong, I only got it from a source that is supposed to be reliable that does reporting this." She said, "Well, it's incorrect. It's wrong." She said, "Well, I'll look into it and have it corrected." But the audacity of the whole thing for that particular meeting was Ikaika Anderson, who had gone during the simultaneously when Caldwell had gone up to Washington, D.C. They probably shared first-class accommodations together on the airlines.
Mm-hmm.
But his remarks was that what was conducted while he was there, basically, he claimed sunshine law. Can you imagine that? A politician claiming sunshine law.
Mm-hmm.
I thought sunshine law belonged to the general public.
It guides the politician. It set parameters in how they are supposed to operate, announcing meetings, can't get together more than two or whatever the rules are. It's guidelines for them.
Yeah. So if he went up there to meet with, and he did say he met with the FTA people, the Federal Transportation Authority,
Mm-hmm.
And basically, but he would not disclose to what his meeting was.
Right.
I don't know. I didn't see you there. I know you're involved with all the other things. But one of what was interesting was three council members. What's his name? Moynihan,
mm-hmm.
Kobayashi, and Ozawa.
Right. Ozawa.
Yeah, Ozawa. Okay. Three of them basically contradicted what Mayor Caldwell was saying,
mm-hmm.
and didn't like being patsies. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
They didn't like being accomplices to the extortion.
Wow.
Now, people don't realize there are professional lobbyists in Congress that do this all the time. If you have a need, a legal need in your township or state or county, and they can use your need to get monies, whatever your need may be, say it's $2 billion. They'll get it for you. but they'll get it at maybe 3 or maybe 4 million, and they keep the finder's fee. Yeah,
yeah.
Finder's fee. You know, it's like the IRS. Yeah. If I turn you in, yeah,
mm-hmm.
whatever they can collect from you, I'm entitled to a finder's fee.
Okay.
Yeah, and this came about from insurance fraud. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Insurance people, of course, the biggest lobby. Yeah, insurance. But anyway, that was the circus on Wednesday, you know. And what I'm trying to find out is, if how do you go to verify? Where do you go to verify what would be what is accepted as being these campaign contributions?
Where do you go?
Yeah, where would anyone go?
Okay, campaign spending commission. You mean to see who donated what to whom?
Well, not necessarily who, but how much, because Pine said the figures are wrong.
Okay, what was the actual discussion? Maybe I can...
Well, the testifier displayed a placard, yeah, with all the names of the
mm-hmm.
council people on it,
mm-hmm.
and whatever was contributed to them from these various contractors, yeah,
mm-hmm.
involved with the rail, yeah?
Okay.
And the pushing of the union was that. It used to be PRI, and now it's PRR or something.
Mm.
Anyway, that was the gist of the whole thing. And she basically said that the figures, as far as her, she was concerned, was wrong.
How much they were donating to...
Yeah.
Well, you know, interesting you mentioned that. I have a note here. I was going to just briefly mention it. You know, Grabowski, I should say, if you look at Caldwell's donations, that his declaration of donation, guess who's donating? To the mayor, Grabowski. Now, I don't know.
Isn't that a direct conflict?
Well,
let me
go back here. I'm going to reach through the phone and pinch and let you remind
okay,
you.
I'll let you go. No.
Well, I pinch you to remind you that we're in Hawaii. And
we are?
And anything goes here, brother.
I'm sorry, brother. I forgot about that.
I didn't mean to pinch you so hard, you know. But I look at that and I think, what the heck is heart? You just look right on the list and it says Grabowski's heart, employer heart, donating this dollar amount to the mayor. And then you go and you look at what's the guy? He was under legal as a traffic of the Department of Morioka or whatever Morioka.
I'll
get it. I know,
yeah.
But he's giving money to him. You understand?
And
a couple of the politicians get money. Now, that's not to say because you give money to someone that person going to go out and do your bidding. But on the other hand, it's fair game to ask. I mean, I'll take money from a snake if I'm going to defeat the other snakes. You understand?
Yeah.
I have no problem.
As long as you don't get bite.
Yeah. And so. But that's kind of strike me as, why is Grabowski giving the mayor money? I mean, you know, is it one of those things where if the mayor decide to work against, say, well, we're going to have to remove you, and he go, wait, mayor, you remember I gave you money?
Just a moment, yeah.
You understand? So
certainly.
Is it legal? Probably is. On the plantation, anything goes. As long as the man, the overseer, as long as the big man in the big hat and the big house says okay, it's okay.
Yeah, you know, the thing about it is that they're of the attitude, yeah, that there's nothing you can do about it. So don't waste our time, yeah?
Right.
I have, in my 79 years, yeah, I have never seen, and, you know, I've gone to councils for different issues to the time, yeah?
Mm-hmm.
I've never seen 9 members of council, yeah, to be unanimously... Yeah, in favor of the wrong, along with the mayor's office. I have never seen that. And there have been a lot of controversy, council members, throughout
mm-hmm.
those years. You know what
mm-hmm.
I mean? But mm-hmm. you always at least have 2 or 3 saying, Wait a minute. Something's wrong here.
Yeah, hold on one second. Hold that thought. Hold on. Let me just... Mm-hmm. Caller, go ahead with your comments. Thanks for waiting.
Thank you very much for taking my call. I attended the same meeting on Wednesday. I'm calling from 99 Ranch. I'm not at home, so I'm at a public telephone. But what the caller said about a lobbyist, Hart has a lobbyist for the rail in Washington, D.C.
Mm-hmm.
And we are paying that lobbyist hundreds of thousands of dollars since this started. We, the taxpayer, are paying for that lobbyist.
Mm-hmm.
Next, Caldwell could be chairman of Harton, and Horner could be mayor of Honolulu, and it makes no difference.
I thought Horner was the governor. I mean, everybody kiss his hand. I mean, if he wants to be the cookie manager today, he'll be installed. If he wants to be at Board of Education, he'll be installed. If he wants to run, tell the governor what to do and how many laps to make around the city.
Oh, absolutely.
And Horner is, you know, it ain't little Jack Horner.
Well, let me give you an anecdote about Horner. Before the city council, the Hart board was there. And they wanted money. This goes back years ago. And the supports for the overhead guideway, two or three, were only up. And Kobayashi said, your fiscal plan shows that you do not have enough money to finish this project. You've got two or three up. What are you going to do? Put these up and tear them down? Horner stood up and said, do you want to send the boys back to the bench? Meaning the exit. This whole project was never about rapid transportation.
Right.
About T-O-D.
Yep. Well.
They do not have a government that has power.
Mm-hmm.
They have given the power to what the gentleman said before, to what you have said for many years, that corporations, big money, control what happens to all of us.
Yeah.
And being there at the I gave testimony also.
Okay.
And it's as corrupt as anybody can imagine.
Yeah. Well, we're going to, in the coming year, we're going to start asking for some solutions because we've spent many years now talking about what's broken, and we're going to ask Santa Claus. How you like that?
Yeah, well, they talk about an audit. Apparently, there are three audits. Don't ask me whose auspices, but there are supposedly three. If you have a legitimate audit, you must be independent. You must have subpoena power to get the truth. And there has to be consequences.
Mm-hmm.
Both
yeah.
Civil and penal.
Yeah. Well, let me. You're right, but who's going to step up to the plate and says, look across the aisle and says, I want to introduce this law that if we steal from the people, you'll go to jail.
Okay, let me give you Toto, because I go back to Garcia. I have many documents that I gave to the Abigail.
Yeah.
And he told me that an allegation of impropriety of conflict of interest.
But if he wants to get you and you're on the wrong political end, Toto and Dorothy and the straw man and the lion will eat you for lunch. That's the way the game's played here. You know, so. Yeah, no, I mean, we've invested our trust and it's if it's money. Treat it like it's money. They're squandering our trust, our needs, and everything else. Let me try this other call. I'm going to lose you probably, but call back because I can barely.
I am in a public phone, so I'll let you go.
Okay, thank you. Aloha. Thank you, caller, for calling. Go ahead with your comments,
Aloha.
Or questions.
The other day I had a little on a couple or 3 days ago, and I think it was a city council meeting, but it was a one back of maybe 2 or 3 weeks, I'm not sure, and I didn't get it from the beginning. Well, one of the things that really bothered me was Kimberly Pine when she stated that, you know, that she was so much for the rail because it took her, like, you know, almost 2 hours to get to what used to take her half an hour to get into work or whatever. And I'm thinking how many people will, and she said she would be taking the train now. Okay, so I'm thinking, though, let's say 100 people out in that, on the other side, take the train from now on a regular basis for work. How much then are they costing us? In mm-hmm. other words, if they voted for the rail because of their personal reasons.
Yeah.
And the other thing is, I'm not sure, but I think probably she and the people that voted for most of the city council people were in favor of development. Well, development
right.
is exactly why Kimberly Pine and the rest of them had to spend 2 hours, what used to be 30 minutes.
You know why she's city council and why she hangs around in government? Have you seen her introduce anything other than a bill that were regarding her personal life where she had a squawk with her former employer, employee who she then had an electronic law pass of harassment. But that's why she hangs around government, because she can't get a job. She couldn't sell the stuff she's selling, so she's serviced big money. And it also suggests to me that she don't go to college much or go to school much or listen to Panas Prevedoris, because Panas many times tell you about carrying capacity. So she was in office, I'm sure, when they were still building out there and building all these houses. Houses bring cars, and cars...
Exactly.
Cars got to go to the freeway, and you don't expand the freeway. So that's why she's taking so long to get to work.
Well, yeah, I mean, I'm sure. if you take the number of people and divide by the 8 or 9 billion
right.
that it's going to end up costing us, you know, they're asking us to pay a heck of a lot for them to have a 30-minute drive instead of a 2-hour drive.
Well, and that's specious anyway. When she but again, you know what I say? Everybody that vote for her deserve her. I mean, it's clear. I've said many times she should be nowhere around government. Her not because I don't like her being mean-spirited. She didn't introduce anything, and what she does, she follows the TV cameras. It's like the lawyer who's accused of following the ambulance. She follows the issues in her, and then she's out. I'm going to do this, and go take the sludge, for example, that she was out there and talking. We're going to introduce Bill. It's still up there in the canyon in the native community, right? But the funny thing about it is that community is going
to
vote her right back in. So.
She's an example of a person that thinks big. You have to look at the thing from outside of yourself.
Right.
And I think Kimberly Pine seems to be incapable of doing that, because she at least the rail thing, she sees it from her own point of view.
Yeah.
Yeah, and also, so good. They can spend $9 billion, so I can only take 30 minutes to ride to work
yeah.
in 2 hours. Well, that's going to last.
So, Filippo, what do you say? You're listening in?
Oh yeah, I'm totally in agreement. I've never seen she's take advantage over publicity. Yeah, you know
mm-hmm.
she's a Cupid doll. Yeah.
Well,
she's always everything is always in the right place or makeup.
Mm-hmm. Well, remember when her group out there, the housing? She just declared she has a house share now. Something recently, the declaration, and remember. When they declared they're not going to build the marina and follow through their original plans, and she popped up in the newspaper to say, "Yeah, well, I can use it. I'm a long distance runner or something, triathlete, and I can swim in it."
Well, I think, you know, with the recent shock scares, yeah, all of a sudden they're going to build an enclosed marina for the tourists that's
mm-hmm.
going to be visiting. Yeah,
yeah.
I think.
Yeah, because those Hawaiian sharks are hungry, yeah?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, well, you got to put a fence up around and then have them shuttle from the airport straight to Ko'olina, and Ko'olina will expand with its aquarium and all of that, and it's going to be great, man, but the people not going to get
another
it.
Another Disney ride, yeah, basically.
Hold on. Yeah, okay.
You got to worry about the sharks in the mayor's office and on the console line.
Yeah.
I don't know about the people. I've kind of lost trust in the people because, as you say, I told them at the meeting, basically, if I was to do, me as a blue collar, if I was to do what you guys are doing to the people, I would get 20 years in prison.
Mm-hmm.
But you're going to get reelected.
Well, I had a gentleman to tell me yesterday, he said, if you're having a problem understanding why we have what we have and the conditions we're in now, think four names, Mufi, Caldwell, Carlisle, and Abercrombie.
Well, don't forget Harris.
Well, Harris, but you see, he didn't stay here and hang around, and I'll take that seat. Now, Harris was a crook, and he just stepped out and left in a hurry.
Well, Harris comes from a missionary family.
Yeah, but these guys here, man, it's like, we screwed them once, we screwed them twice, and they seem to like it. Let's screw them again.
Oh, yeah. Well, he was on Kuwait, and he got screwed on Kuwait, and Frank Fawcett pitied him and gave him a position, managing director's office.
But anyway, there was a caller that called and didn't have... I don't like rushing people off the line, so you can call back if you are a caller out there.
My last word is I would wish that the ghost of Frank Fawcett would visit these people.
Mm.
Aloha.
All righty. Take care. You there? Hello? Anyway, it's somewhat depressing where you hear the same thing over and over. And there are people that actually care. You know, they say, people are apathetic and they don't get involved. And that's not really factual. People do get involved. And it's a struggle because how do you get involved on your free time? On your dime, on your nickel, on your dollar, on your gas tank. How do you go and fight for the people and then come back and the people sit there and vote the people? I mean, it might suggest that the person going through that, like myself, is nuts. Because what good is it going to do if I just saw, for example... on TV, the gentleman, Redula, the head of DLNR. Now, this is the same guy. There's no shame. And this lady case is just, I'm sorry. I don't know if she has icicles in her blood or what, or she's just myopic. I don't know what it is. But I wrote, complained, reflected that this guy had written a letter, a harsh letter, and then posting his rifle on his Facebook, and basically one can take it as a threat to his wife, ex-wife, and about guns, gunplay and all. And she didn't do anything about it. Just yesterday or the day before, he's on TV trying to justify why they need to give fully automatic long rifles to the DLNR officers. And DLNR has had guns or still have guns, and I reported this up there at Manana in the containers that they don't use. But how is it that a man can post his gunplay and talk about meet my friend, my little friend here from a Scarface movie, and you understand? And bang out there. So it's as if when we as citizens raise the question, they don't want to listen to us. They're not. They have in their own minds what they want to do. To heck with us. We don't matter. We don't register. And they do that. And this case is the epitome of, screw the public. I'm a private person, basically. I'm in a position to do this as the director or the chairman of DLNR, so I do what the hell I please. So somewhere down the line, what she doesn't understand is that while she may be right and has a skin that's thick and impervious, I will submit this to you, Miss Case. The man that appointed you will ultimately pay the price if you are so arrogant and you're so stiff and cold and calculating that you can just do your thing and run it, then it'll cost your boss. And then likely when new bosses come in, you're out. So that's just something to think about. And it's just one trick after the next, always. One act of disrespect from the government agencies after the next. And going back to H-Power, again, if you want to call in, 524-1080 is the number. I got about 20 minutes. You're welcome to call and offer your thoughts. But regarding this audit, it talked about the ENV services. ENV and Budget and Fiscal Services approved contract modifications without realizing the contractor's right to operate the H-Power facility was extended from 20 years to 47 years. Now, why would you give anybody a 20-year contract, first of all, but then hand them let's renew your contract, and we'll give you 47 years. So they will be there making money, operating, and charging the city for 47 years. Now, you heard me say Budget and Fiscal Services was involved. They're supposed to be the ones safeguarding and guiding and making sure there's adherence and consistency, right? But they're not. And this document is just one after the other, one statement, one bad remark after the other as it relates to money and how the ENV is handling the money. But I was shocked that it would go up to $1 billion for a smokestack. You understand? Just to burn trash. And then give that contract to everyone involved, right? So the H-Power, I believe they should go in there and clean house. As far as it relates to Budget and Fiscal Services and management of the contracts, review all the contracts. They're not consistent with city law, so therefore, Laurie Carquina and others that were responsible for engaging or letting those contracts have no authority to exempt themselves or their actions from the law. So therefore, I believe as a taxpayer and as a citizen that if you're not authorized to give such contracts and you can't waive them and the law is the law, then we don't have to honor these contracts. That's my opinion. And it is costly. Man, when you look at the amount of money, they're dripping wet with money. It's just they're throwing money around as if there's no tomorrow, as if the taxpayer just has unlimited resources. So there's another audit that is also talking about the sewage and what have you. But in they say here in 1985, the H-Power project consisted of two contracts, a contract for the construction of facility and the contract operate the facility. The city awarded Honolulu Resource Recovery Venture the $149,975,000 contract to design, construct, and test the H-Power facility. The city also signed an operating contract with HRRV that allowed the contractor to operate to maintain the H-Power facility for 20 years at a cost of $163,764,000. So the original cost that was allowed and stated was $149 million, basically, jumped up to $163 million. In 2003, Covanta purchased the facility and then went on. But But again, the fiscal year 2011, the operations cost was $35 million. Just listen at these numbers, and this is what Laura Carquina and Mayor Caldwell has at their disposal. They can just spend freely and give to their friend who is going to give back to them, as we've documented, big campaign donations. Fiscal year 11, $35 million. Fiscal year 12, $39 million. This is for the operations. Fiscal year 13, $49 million. Fiscal year 14, $54 million. And 2015, $52 million. The total for that, for just the operations, is $230,943.545. So the baghouse filter, I mean, listen at the millions that this audit is quite revealing. So with all of the refurbishment, third boiler expansion, which was $122 million, and refurbishment for that was $2,213,000, for a total of $171 million in fiscal year 2011. In 2012, a total of $108 million for third boiler refurbishment sludge project. In fiscal year 14, a total of $64 million. And 15 was $72 million. The total amount for the operation of operations, baghouse, air filter, third boiler refurbishment and sludge project was $485 million. And that's just for that purpose now. Nothing to do with the injection wells, obtaining, maintaining, nothing to do with the fuel oil that they purchased, nothing to do with the consulting and the operation. So imagine. The city developed standard general terms and conditions for the construction and professional service contract that implements state procurement requirements, and including provisions. The standard terms and conditions were developed to reduce the potential risk, they say. But this audit is pretty scathing, and also imagine you have 79 approved contract modifications, 29 amendments, 35 change orders, and 15 task orders did not include the terms and conditions that allow the city unlimited access to the contractor records and data, the unlimited right to audit contractor pricing, costs, and other data as specified in the state procurement code. Can you imagine that? You have a contractor who proclaims that we'll do the work, but you don't have a right to audit us. Who would engage in a practice such as that? And they say the city versus contractor terminology. Exhibit 2.2 compares some of the differences between the city general terms and conditions with those developed by Covanta and the consultants for their contracts. Although Covanta contract allows the contractor to destroy the records after 6 years and before the project is completed. Imagine that. Allows the contractor to destroy. That's what the contract is, to destroy records after 6 years and before the project is completed. Does that make sense? ENV and BFS, Budget and Fiscal Services Manager, stated that Covanta contract was compatible with the city general terms condition. And the auditor says that we determined that the construction and operating contracts were industry templates used by contractors to protect the contractor interests and not the city. So I just can't imagine how we can stay on top of this and say that we're honestly managing for the taxpayers in the taxpayers' best interest if, in fact, the contractor can operate so loosely without having to hold the records in hand and produce them. Thank you, caller. Go ahead with your comment.
Hey, Bruno.
Yes.
Hang on. You just said the magic word. The magic word is the destruction of the contract.
Mm-hmm.
Everything else doesn't matter.
Right.
Okay, a project of that nature.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, with the due diligence of the safety of the public.
Right.
Okay, should never be destroyed.
Mm-hmm.
But that's what we are. That's our. That is our loophole. I hate to say loopholes, but.
Isn't that amazing that this audit?
Ridiculous! Ridiculous!
Shit.
Anyway, well, let's spread it around, get the people to talk about it. I think we need to examine that very closely.
Well, it's the audit is on my website at carolcox.com, and
okay.
Go there and pull it up and pass it out. Let's see if we can start a revolution, a mental revolution. Yeah.
Praise the Lord and pass the ammunition.
Or praise the Lord and pass the biscuits.
Okay.
All right.
Take care.
Constructing contracts, man. I mean, it's just. I'm sorry. I want to read this whole thing to you because it's scary, but I won't do that to you. But guys. Again, I've said it before, and I'm sounding like a broken record with very few lyrics. This is our opportunity. This is our day here. This audit gives you an insight of how poorly the Environmental Services Department is being operated. You might not care, but right down to the trash, you know, the current administration. Like Carl Kino, sat down and created, manufactured emergencies so that she could hire her friends who has a front-end loader and get him in and then turn around and hire him. You understand? So this is no laughing matter. This is about bucks, dollars, and cents. And I think we have more cents than dollars. So if we put them together and start acting on this, this is really, it's, you know, as a result of the city was obligated to pay Covanta claims of $585,000 in legal fees it accumulated during the contract negotiation with the city. The city also reimbursed Covanta and its subconsultants over $52,000 for first class and business class air travel, and the costs of the extended hotel stay not related to work because the contracts did not place limits on what could be reimbursed. So, in other words, go do this for us, and whatever cost, how much is going to cost, at whatever cost. This is how liberal they are with our money, folks. And I wish I could apologize, but... In 2015, H-Power reported its first loss of $543,000. In our opinion, if H-Power revenues continue to be insufficient to cover operating construction costs, the city may be obligated to cover the losses. Doesn't sound good, does it? But Covanta and HDR... and Melly Associates, they're not going to lose any money because you see the way the contracts are written, they're guaranteed. They can write it and get whatever they want to. So there's a lot to be said about this, and if you're not depressed and you want to stay clear of this, don't read this. I'm going to tell you up front because it's like... This is intelligent people, and they present themselves as solvers of our problems. But then when you look, who on earth would give a contractor a contract and then tell him, well, I might have to check up on you, but, well, no, you can't do that because I'm going to tear up the records. But you haven't finished the project. Well, so that's what I said to you when I signed on the contract. You knew that. Who would do that? while the government requires to keep the records, right? So there is a lot of things in here that make you want to scream and ask. And this gentleman called Mr. Kurt Caldwell, and I must tell you, you better give him a second look. And that second look is to give him great scrutiny, because he's not doing anything in the best interest of the people, not for this city and county. And more than likely, I might, as much as painful as it might be, the way we vote in this town, I think we might be calling him Governor Caldwell. That would be a sad day, but that's the way it is, right? So anyway, we'll talk later, and next week we'll get a number of things and talk about the issue on Covanta's and the a couple things regarding the Freon and asking the state to give us an answer. And Cahey Lagoon, the fuel spill from the tanks there, I got a response from the Pipeline Safety Office, and they are engaging in a consent decree, and they inform me that AIG is actually going in and fixing up the pipes and what have you. So that's what they're doing. And anyway, guys, so if you want to look us up on the internet, carolcox.com, as well as Olelo, you can go there, and at 1 o'clock today there will be another show, and I got a filming coming in, a crew coming in now to do a little film. But I'll leave you with this. Remember that group that gave money to Mayor Caldwell? ENV approved payments for HDR engineers, consultants, hourly rates that were higher than the contracted hourly rates. The contract rate set for the senior project manager was $146.15 per hour. The consultant charged the city an hourly rate that ranged as high as $207.26. So how is that that the rules say you can charge $146.15 per hour, and the consultant turn around and charges $207 per hour? The contract rate was $175.50 for senior mechanical engineer. The consultant billed the city as much as $282, where he should have only charged $175. Although the hourly rates billed for the HDR senior project manager and senior mechanical engineer did not match the rates agreed upon in the contract and the amendments, ENV approved the payments. As a result, we estimated the city paid approximately $37,500 in overstated labor costs. There's much, much, much more. So I appreciate you all listening, and we will see you next week. And thank you. Aloha.
Children are, because it's not 12 o'clock, yeah. They're somewhere out on the street.
Stay tuned for the second half of the Carol Cox Show right after the news on KWAI Honolulu K101.